Now let's begin with a prayer. Our kind Father, we're thankful for an opportunity to be here this morning to sing these songs of praise, thy most holy name, Father, to, for a few moments, pause and remember the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior on the cross. And Father, what that means to us as Christians today, for the love that He had for us, and Father, for the commitment we didn't have for Him. We pray that You will be with us now through this study. Help us, Father, to through Your Word, to understand Your will and to follow it. Thank You for this congregation, for the elders, for the deacons, for the work that's being done. May You be glorified in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know, I guess I was probably 4 or 5 years old, maybe. It was on a Wednesday night. And my daddy was getting things ready to go to Wednesday night Bible class. You see, at home, there was no question where we was going to be on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. That question was already answered whenever my dad was baptized, which was probably later on, actually, in his life, when he was in his late 30s. When that commitment was made, he held to it. So, when I was about six, I was small enough that I could hide between that old Frigidaire freezer and refrigerator we had and the sink. Now that shows you how long ago that was. Now I couldn't even get my arm through one. But I was hiding in there. You say, Jackson, why are you hiding? Because I didn't want to go to church. I didn't have the same feeling about it my daddy did. So I was hiding. I thought maybe if he didn't find me, he was going to church. He found me. That is to say, he invited me out a little bit, helped me a little bit. And he said, boy, what is your problem? And I said, Dad, I don't want to go to church. He said, son, you are listening to the devil. All those years ago, I still remember it. I remember that incident. It kind of made an impression on me. Because it's when I'm now starting to put 1 plus 1 together. There is good and there is bad in the world. God is the author of everything wonderful, good, positive, and eternal life. Everything negative, everything that is a sin, Satan is behind that. So, for the first time I'm realizing that these two influences are out there and they're very active. Now last week, if you remember, we started this little series. It was actually 7 lies the devil wants you to believe. Well, I took the 7 off because right now I've got 11. So it'll be today, this morning, and tonight. There's so many. But anyway, so we're going to continue this series this morning with lies that the devil would have you believe. The first one we're going to look at this morning, I think it's actually about number 6 on our list, is that our church attendance is unimportant. Our church attendance is unimportant. As I mentioned, that is a devil's lie. Notice the spiritual responsibility that we as Christians have. Acts 20 verse 7, upon the first day of the week, the Christians would come together by habit and partake of Lord's Supper. Let's read this together. On the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, this was the reason for coming together. Now, folks, the first day of the week had been set aside by the Lord to be a day of worship. If we choose to do our own thing, we are actually going against the authority of God. We'll look more at that in Hebrews 10:25. Notice, they came together to break bread, Paul ready to depart the next day. He spoke with them and continued his message until midnight. Now, one of the things that the Lord did was he set aside this day as a day of worship and a day of remembrance. We come together upon the first day of the week to break bread. That's our purpose. That's our reason. That's why it is so important for us to be here, to be a part of the worship assembly. And then there's the financial part of it. Notice in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 2. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there may be no collections when I come. So, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16 that since you are in the habit of coming together upon the first day of the week for the purpose of remembering the Lord and His death, burial, and resurrection, and because there is lessons or preachings associated with it, Acts 20 verse 7, therefore lay aside something that there be no collections when I come, or any special collections. And so there are financial. You know, the church, we talked about this, the church has certain financial obligations. Besides that, there are individuals that we support that preach the gospel in other areas and across the seas. And so we have an obligation to them. And so we lay aside a little bit of time on the first day of the week to support them and to get the finances for them. Now, folks, we can't remember the Lord's Supper if we are not there on Sunday morning. We can't lay by in store if we're not there on Sunday morning. And all of these are commands from the Lord that we are to observe. They're by His authority. Now, the social aspect of it. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Hebrews 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. One of the most beautiful aspects of our coming together, besides worshiping our Father in heaven, and besides remembering the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, is the ability that we have to encourage one another, to edify one another, to build each other up. You know, when it talks about singing, Ephesians 3:16, Ephesians 5:19, in both of those instances, it talks about singing and encouraging. We encourage one another through these songs. They have twofold reason that we sing. Number one, for God. Number two, to encourage one another. I can't encourage you if you're not here, and you can't encourage me if you're not here. One of the things that we're looking at is that what the devil would have us to believe is that church attendance is optional. You know, when you consider that, I know the devil doesn't whisper these things in our ears, but there are influences. Let me give you some examples of that. Sometimes these influences come from positive areas. We used to have family. Before I became a preacher, family would come in at Saturday night and would be there on Sunday, and they would get upset because Melissa and I would go to church.
Sometimes job gets in the way. All these are positive things, being with family, going to church. But then again, what is the most important part of our life? I want to tell you something. I love my family dearly. And we had to have them to understand, now not this, actually my wife's family, they were not members of the church. They had to understand that that's where we're going to be on Sunday. That was a commitment we made. And you have to make a commitment. I mean, on Thursday, you've got to know where you're going to be on Sunday. And when things come up, you weigh what's important. Some things do come up sometimes that we can't get out of. But if we can be at church, unless, you know, when I was at Personal School of Preaching, the director, Brother Stevens, used to tell us that if we missed one of the classes, all we had to do was bring a note from a doctor and a piece of the bone that we broke. And it'd be excused. Well, he's a little bit facetious. But there's some truth to that. We had to commit to those classes. And today we have to commit to the Lord. I mean, that's so important. Part of it is the relationship we have with each other. And how we can build each other up. We're in this thing together. You know, can you imagine if you're going through persecution like those folks were in the first century, how important it was for them to come together? Well, folks, it's just that much, that important for us. Look at Hebrews 10:24. To stir up, coming together to stir up unto love and good works. You know what? When you take two pieces of iron and rub them together, you get friction. But that's not a bad thing in all cases. In fact, in the book of Ecclesiastes, the wise man Solomon talked about how one iron can sharpen another. And that's talking about the relationship that we have as God's children. And we build off each other. We strengthen each other. I'll tell you something. As one that has been forced because of some health issues in the time past to miss the fellowship of the Lord's people in a worship assembly, it was the most miserable weeks in my life. Miserable. Because not only this is where I need to be, it's where I want to be, it's where I ought to be. Now notice, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as some has made the habit. There were those in the first century that made a habit of not coming. He said, don't do that. Don't be like those individuals. Don't make a habit of not coming. Because it's important that you come. Because so much more you see the day approaching. Oh, I've heard all kinds of explanations of the day. And I'm not going to get into that. I'm just going to tell you this. Whatever day you want it to be, get ready for. If you want it to be the judgment, then get ready for the judgment. If you want it to be death, then get ready for death. Every day we're a little closer to both. Every day. And this is part of what our assembly is all about. Preparing for our final destiny. And by the way, I think it's interesting that in verse 27, if we sin willfully, there remains no more sacrifice. Christ has made His one sacrifice. And my question is this morning for you to consider, for me to consider, if I choose to do something else rather than be in the assembly, is that a willful sin? Okay, just think about it. Think about this. We are a part of the whole. We are a body. If I lose part of my body, I mean, if it may be something that I may deem as insignificant, like this little finger. It's still a part of my body, and it is significant to my body. And I'm going to hurt. And I'm going to have some surgeries. I might have to have all kinds of things, maybe even therapy on my hand, because I've lost a part of my body. You see, each Christian is a part of the whole. The whole is the church. We are a part of the whole. And if anyone is missing, then a part of the whole is missing. Now, I understand, as I mentioned, legitimate things comes up, but we have to ask ourselves, what's legitimate? In 1 Corinthians 12 chapter, the Bible talks about the church as being a body. And then it talks about the significance of each part of the body. What if, you know, you see an image here, and Paul, I think, had a pretty good sense of humor. He said, what if the whole body was an ear? Can you imagine a big ear walking down the street? What if the whole body was an ear? How are you going to smell? Was the nose. If the whole body is an ear, how are you going to see? He said, what parts of the body seem so unseemly are some of the ones that's most significant. We all have our place in the body of Christ. That's why it is so important that we associate ourselves with the body whenever that body is together. Whenever. Matthew 6, verse 33, my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ, that went to the cross and died on that cross, said that we are to seek the kingdom of God first. Seek first the kingdom of God. He said, all of this junk will be added to you. The necessary things of life and even the junk might be added. But seek first the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean when it comes to our attendance? What decisions do we make when it comes to being at worship or Bible study? You see? If our mindset is on the kingdom first, where will we be? You know, my daddy was right. You know, he always said, son, guard your attitude. It's all about our attitude. What is the most important part of my life? And when I make my decisions will be based on what is important. And if the kingdom is not first in my life, then my decisions will not be based on the kingdom. It will be based on what I want to do, what I choose to do, or what I think I ought to do. Not what the Lord wants me to do. Matthew 10, verse 37. Jesus, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy. He who loves son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. What is he saying? He's first. You know, again, it's a good thing to love our parents. In fact, Jesus reprimanded the Pharisees because when they would say racha, or when they would say certain things, they would not have to take care of the parents. And Jesus said, how dare you? God gave you that responsibility back in the Old Testament. That's not what he said. Thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. Okay. That is an eternal command from God. But what is Jesus saying? You love me first. Your decisions that you make is not based on what your parents decide. It is based upon what I want you to do. A commitment to do my will. Folks, it's not easy serving my Lord. It's not easy. Do you know how many times in the New Testament Jesus talks about counting the cost? You know what he's trying to say? He's trying to tell folks, listen, it's not easy being my follower. In a few weeks, probably the first of the year, I'm going to be starting a class for younger couples. And it's going to be titled, Not a Fan. It's based on a book by that same title, but I'm not following the book that much. I've got my own stuff I want us to talk about. But it's talking about being committed to Christ and what that really means. And one of the things, when we make a commitment to Christ, when we're baptized into Christ, we are making a commitment to the Lord, just like when we get married and we make a commitment to our spouse. And we're saying, I love you and I will put you first in my life. I want to follow you. And the big thing is, nothing's going to get in my way in my service. Now, a lot of people have the misunderstanding that even Sunday night and Wednesday night, Bible classes are kind of optional. Folks, there's an attitude problem here. The attitude is this. If we are truly have the kingdom mentality, where will we choose to be? What's the most important thing in our life? And we talk about following Jesus, and we say, Lord, I'll follow you. I'm mindful of a story of a man who woke up one morning, snow was on the ground. I mean, everything was covered in snow, and I know that's hard for us to even think about right now. Snow was everywhere. He wakes up, and he jumps up, and he says, get up, wife. Go get those kids up. We're going to school. We're going to get them ready to go to school. I'm going to work. And I want my paper there on the front porch when I get out there. This snow is not going to slow anybody down. This is the work day and we're going to go to work. And I'm going to go and I'm going to stop by that coffee shop and they better be open. They better have my coffee ready. The wife said, honey, don't you remember today's Sunday? He said, oh, I wouldn't send my dog out on a day like today. What was the difference? Where was his commitment? Where's our commitment? The shepherds have a responsibility. They've got to oversee the flock of which the Holy Ghost hath made them overseers. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. That's the responsibility. Also, they had the responsibility to shepherd us and to feed us. Notice Hebrews 13:17. Obey those who have rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. They have set aside these times for us to grow. For us to grow in our spiritual life. For us to grow in worship, closer to God. And these are times that we can do that, set aside, especially for that. The question is, do we really want to grow? Do we really want to grow? Are we complacent? I mean, those are just questions that I have to think about all the time. You know, you say, well, you're a preacher. You have to study. You know what? You're partly right. But if I'm just studying because of my job, I'm a very poor Christian. If I'm studying to grow spiritually, that makes it a little bit different. You see, it's all about growth and taking an opportunity and all the opportunities I can. And those opportunities come to us Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night to grow. And I thank our elders for giving us these opportunities. Because it's a way that they can feed us, we can be fed God's Word, besides being at home. Okay, I'm I'm going to wait till tonight. Now, tonight, I actually intended, and I'm going to try to do this anyway. We're going to be talking also about alive. The church is not important, and baptism is not important. Those are two lies. The other one is a lie that Satan has convinced a lot of people of, is that we are descendants of pond scum. And that is a devil's lie. And all the reactions and what happens from that. Of course, that's talking about evolution. So that'll be another subject we'll broach with this series. This morning, I'd encourage you, God loves us so much. John 3:16, that He gave His Son for us. Folks, those are not just the words on a billboard. Those are not just words on the side of a bus. Those are not words that's in our favorite arenas of athletics. Those are not just words. It is truth. For God so loved the world. Let's change that. For God so loved Terry Jackson. God so loved you. That He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That whosoever believes in Him should not perish eternally, but shall have everlasting life. Top that love, folks. Top that love. How much do you love God? We know how much you love us. For God loved us, not that we loved Him, but God loved us. He sent His Son to die for us. Have we committed to follow Him totally with our life? If you're not a Christian, God has loved you to send your Son. Now, what are you willing to do in return? Are you willing to put Him on in baptism? As the Bible tells us in Acts 22, verse 16, having our sins washed away? Are you willing to repent of the sins you've committed? Get out of the sinning business and walk with Him and to be a part of His body? If you're willing to do that this morning, we'd encourage you to consider that, and if you need to come and be baptized, this is your opportunity. Child of God, do you love the Father? Do you love His church, or the church that belongs to His Son? Do you have the kingdom mindset? Are you committed not only to the Lord? You can't be committed to the Lord without being committed to Christ, because the church is a body of Christ. You're committed to one, you're committed to both. Are you committed this morning? Are you a follower of Jesus? Or are you just a listener? If we can help you with any commitment you need to make as a Christian, or if you need to come forward and be baptized as a non-Christian to become a Christian, then the invitation is yours while we stand and sing together.
There's a fountain, free tears for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its feet. 'Tis the fountain of love from the source above, and He bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all.
There's a living stream with the crystal clean from the throne of life. Now it flows while the waters flow. Let the weary soul hear the call that forth freely goes. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty souls. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all.
Terry, thank you for your lesson. Before Jeff leads us in our closing prayer, let's turn to number 973.